Welcome to the Holistic You community. I'm your host, James Wyler. Like you, I'm an expert in one area. And like you, I'm curious to know more. And that's what this community is all about. It's about asking the right questions to the right people to get the right answers and have a little bit of fun along the way. I hope the answers to these questions makes your journey a little bit easier. Welcome back to another episode of the Holistic You podcast. Today, I have the absolute pleasure of speaking with someone I actually went to school with, Molly Benjamin. Now, Molly is an ambassador for financial education, and this is really the reason I wanted to get her on. Welcome to the podcast, Molly.
Thanks for having me on, James, and nice to see you. I think it's been since school that I saw you last, so.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah. I was like, we don't have to say how many years because then that's
A long time ago. Now, Molly has written a book, and I actually think that the title of this book is really trendy. So I'm not going to take any of your thunder. So can you just tell us about the book that you've written, Molly? And also, before we even get into that, why do you think that financial education is so important?
Yeah. Absolutely. So I'll start with that question. So I think financial education is really important because if you don't have control over your finances, you don't have control over your life. Like, it's pretty much that simple. And especially for me, I kind of specialize in financial education for women. And people always say, oh, that's a bit sexist. Why do you just do women? And I'm like, well, unfortunately, I can't wait for it just to be the finance club one day. But when it comes to women and money, the stats are, they're there. We live longer. We live on average 5 years longer. We earn less. There's still a pay gap in this country. We take time out of our careers to have families for all the right reasons. And then unfortunately, we're kind of heavily penalized with, you know, retiring on half the super of men. And what that means at that stage of our life is we have a lot less control over our lives. And I see it with my parents' friends, and it's really scary. So whether you're male or female, it's really important that you take that time out. And the biggest thing I like to get across as well is you don't have to make these huge dramatic life changes to get on top of your money. It's just small things, and it's doing it regularly as well.
So true. I couldn't agree more. And working in my role, I do see a lot of women at the retirement stage. And for those that haven't necessarily planned for that, not necessarily even in their own fault, something has happened along the way. It can be scary when they go to retire because they maybe don't have enough money. And that's when it's the most scary, you know.
And it's one in four women at the moment retiring with no super. And the stat that gets me, one of the big motivators for me starting my business, is that single women over the age of 55 years old are our highest demographic in Australia going into homelessness, which is just kind of crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. And that's really sad too.
Yeah.
Wow. So you've got some really good reasons for starting this. Can you tell us a little bit more about your background? Because if obviously no one can see Molly on this podcast, but she's a very bright, fun girl. And if you ever have a look at her website, there's lots of brightness and lots of pink. And I'm thinking like PR communications background. Well, obviously I know that because I've read it, but how did you take that background and then develop this passion for finance? What happened along the way?
Yeah, so my background was always in financial services, but I obviously wasn't working in investment banking or accounting. I was working in communications, marketing and events. So I was working that in Australia. I moved to the UK, and what I noticed was I wasn't very good with money, like massive confession. It's like the first page of my book. Like, I was like, you know, horrendous with money. Money would come in and I was like, oh, we earn money so we can spend it. Yeah. And I was really good at the spending it, and I could do it oh so quickly. But what I realized was I wasn't very good with money. My girlfriends weren't very good with money. And then I was working for one of the biggest banks in the UK, and a lot of the women I was working with at the banks weren't very good with money. Yet some of my mates, who were the same as me, age-wise, career-wise, they were buying property. And I was like, what is going on here? This is crazy. And so that's where I literally started, like, a book club, but instead of books, we would talk about money because my dad had an investment club and I was like, I want an investment club. So we'd get the girls over, I'd put on pizza, someone would bring wine, and we'd get a friend who worked in finances to come and talk to us about a different topic. And that's literally where it all began. And then we outgrew my living room very quickly and I started running events. And so, yeah, luckily with my background, putting on an event for me was very easy. And that's kind of where Ladies Finance Club grew. It was literally from my living room with a bottle of wine and some girlfriends.
And this is obviously what led you to your book.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's your book called?
So it's called Girls Just Want to Have Funds. And it's pretty much
brilliant. Brilliant. That is just brilliant.
And it is really a guide for women who might not have ever really have kind of let their finances go. They feel like a financial hot mess, kept their head in the sand. And it's really a guide to help you cover those basics so you're in the position where you can start to grow your wealth. And it's very much designed to be done with girlfriends. At the end of each chapter, there's like a little action plan. It's like, go get cocktails or go get a cup of coffee and, you know, ask each other these questions, keep each other accountability. Because I think in life, we are so much more, I know for me personally, I'm much more efficient when I have accountability. If I have to meet a friend for a run, I will go for that run. If it's me by myself, I'm like, maybe I won't. Although there's some people who are absolute self-starters. I was talking to the lady who started Kiki K, Christina Carlson, who's become a good friend and amazing mentor. And she's like, I'm a self-starter. I'm like, yeah. So not everyone, but I think a majority of us, like, definitely it's designed to be done with your girlfriends and keeping it social and fun. Because sorry, James, but sometimes the world of finance can be a little male, pale, stale, and oh so blue. So we're trying to make it a bit more fun.
Yeah. No, and that's a great point you raise about, we always advocate for that too in the financial planning profession. If you're ever goal setting, to have accountability is to talk your goals through with your significant other, with your friends, with your family, so that you are accountable. And then when you stray, they can bring you back.
So. Totally. Yeah. We're all about the goals at Ladies Finance Club. We love a goal.
Yep. So that's a good segue. So can you run me through the essence, like, of your book? What are the major principles or teachings that you're looking to impart? Yeah.
So I guess the first one, we kind of start with mindset, which is kind of like creating the foundations for what's to come. Because if we can't get the mindset right, then it doesn't really matter what comes next. So thinking about, what are your money beliefs, and really challenging those beliefs and working out, where do they actually come from? Because our money mindset is made up by the time we're 7 years old, and it's heavily influenced with how our parents behaved with or acted or didn't act with money. So it's actually good to understand, where is this coming from? I know a couple of our LFC members, I've worked through a few of their kind of like beliefs with them. And one did have beliefs around, like, when money comes in, I need to spend it straight away. Because when she was younger, her parents lost all their money really suddenly. And so she was holding on to this belief that, you know, it could go any minute. Even though she had a really steady job, she had lots of savings. Other people, like other ladies we've had come through, it might be, yeah, they had a lot of money growing up and it just was never an issue. And now they're not taking action with their money because they're like, well, it's never been a problem before. It was always there, but now they're really struggling to manage that. So there's so many like different beliefs around money, that deserving, good enough, was bad with math, all this kind of stuff. So it's really important to unpack those so you can then get on top of, what are your goals, which we cover in the book. Really talking about, I spoke to a lady who worked in finance the other day and I was like, how are you with money? She's like, really bad. I'm like, cool. What are your goals? I have none. Okay. Well, you've got nothing to work towards. It's like playing a game of football and having no goals. You're just kicking a ball around. You're just kind of going with the flow. So getting really clear on what those goals are. And I just bought out a money journal actually 2 weeks ago that you can get on the Dream Life store. So it's, again, Christina Carlson, Kiki K's new company. But we make you literally write out your goals every single month, keeping them top and center of your mind. And then we cover things like budgeting, emergency funds, understanding super, because you work in super, the world of super can be really complicated.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And if I mean, like, oh, it's like it can be a minefield, and the rules change. So it's kind of like, if you want your super to look as good as George Clooney does by the time you hit 60, what are some small things you can do? And then we talk about investing, and I'm really passionate about investing. I just think it's a part of adulting. We just have to do it as adults. And looking at, yeah, different ways that you can invest. And then we cover other areas such as like salary negotiation, which is really important, especially for women, because we do not like to negotiate as much as guys do. We have a chapter on teaching kids about money, because if you didn't have good role models, you don't want to pass those on to your own kids. Don't worry, I outsourced help for that one, because obviously my only qualification was being a child once. So I interview a whole bunch of different women in the book who helped me with that. And then also how to untie the knot. So what happens when you do go through separation, divorce? What's the process? What are the things you need to be aware of? Because that's a huge, that's a big financial one for many, many women, and it can be devastating to their finances. There's other things in there too, like insurances and protection, but they're the main ones that I'm pretty sure I missed like a good 3-4 chapters, but debt, all the other stuff, it's all in there too.
So it's a comprehensive guide to everything you need to know about finance.
The basics, exactly.
Oh, that's great. I like as well that you've got some practical tips around how to negotiate an increase in salary. Obviously, that's pretty timely with wage growth at the moment for everyone listening is recently has ticked up, but inflation's still much higher than wage growth. So technically, we are going backwards. So Molly, can we draw out a few little golden nuggets from you on how to negotiate for a higher salary?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a really important and very simple thing you can do is just start keeping data on yourself. So I always say at the end of every Friday, just pop a little reminder in your calendar and just write down, whether it's in a Google Sheets or you want to use an app like Pep Talker, and just write down what were the top three things you did that week. It might have been, some great customer feedback you got. You might have finished off a project. You might have organized X. And then what you're doing is you're creating a book of evidence of all the awesome things you've been doing. Because if it's like you have your, and then when you have your meeting with your boss or whatever, I haven't been in the corporate world for a while, your like KPIs, your 6-monthly KPIs, and you're going in for that pay rise, you've got evidence of absolutely everything that you've been up to. Because sometimes when we have to remember, it's like, I don't remember what I had for dinner last night, let alone what I did 2 months ago, but it was really good and I've been really busy. But when you can go, I've been doing boom, 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 this is also what I did, I brought in this much work, blah, 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 you are going to be much more likely to get that pay rise. So I think there's a lot about preparing for that pay rise. And then another little hack that I love as well, and I got this one from Maggie Palmer, who's also another Gold Coast lady, but now based in New York, running her company over there. And she said, at the end of each week or month, depending on what's appropriate, you just write your boss an email of a wrap up of the month, being like, hey, this is what I got up to this month. This is what my areas of priority areas are for next week. Like, is that all good? Because again, you're keeping yourself front and center of their mind. And so when it comes to, again, you going in for that negotiation, they're not like, what's Molly been doing? They're like, wow, I know exactly where Molly's been. She's been keeping me up to date. So there's just a few little tips there. And the other one is just, you have to actually book it in and ask as well. Like, I think for women as well, we like to put it off, but like there's nothing more upsetting than not being paid your worth.
Yeah, that's great, Molly. Some really insightful tips there. So I'm interested, why do you think that men are probably more likely to negotiate or be aggressive in that negotiation than women?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? And then obviously that is really a proxy for men in finance, women in finance. So what's the essence of that? What do you reckon that's down to?
I think there's a lot of different reasons. A couple that stick out for me personally is, number one is we're just not socialized to talk about money. It's just not like, women would rather talk about their own death than talk about money, the stats show. So it's not like, and also if you look back, not very far back, but if you look back in history, it hasn't been that long that women have had actually control over their own money. Like, it was something crazy. Like, it wasn't until the 70s that a woman could open, I think it was like, get a home loan in their own name without a male signatory, or a credit card, or open bank account. So if we think of our grandmas, like if they didn't have control of their own money or they weren't working, then they weren't, they're not having these generational conversations where with men, I find like they're very open and they have been talking about money for a very long time. So I think socializing is one. Again, I mean, men are busy, women are busy, but it's just, we've got lots on, especially when people are raising families and sometimes it can get pushed to the side. There's definitely, I think, a confidence factor as well. There was studies showing that women and men are equally as competent, but men are way more confident. So if you see someone being really confident, someone in a relationship, you might be more likely to be like, oh, well, you seem to know what you're doing, so you just do it. But actually, this is a great place to say with the stats, women do make better investors than guys. And that's come out of a number of different research statistics. But yeah, there's a lot of different reasons.
I think you hit the nail on the head there, though. I would say that I'm a guy, so I can say this. We probably are.
You're qualified. It's all right,
We probably, and I was talking about this with someone recently, we probably do have an overconfidence in probably a lot of things, whereas women probably are more, they don't overreach. They operate in an environment that they're capable of doing so, whereas we think that we can do anything and kind of let our egos sometimes overextend ourselves or make us overconfident potentially.
I know.
All the guys listening are just cringing at that.
But do you talk to your mates about money and investing often?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm always the one bringing up in a conversation because don't talk about it. We're talking about relationships. We're talking about fashion. We're talking about so many other things. But I did have a friend the other day and she's like, I'm just going to go into situations now with the confidence of a middle-class white American man. And I was like, wow. I was like, hey, whatever works for you.
How's that working out for her?
Yeah, good. Pretty good. Yeah.
She just became a CEO of.
She's now running Australia. No.
I think that's probably the essence of it, right? So
there's lots of different reasons, but yeah.
Now the thing I also wanted to ask you about was obviously your program has gone bananas. Like if I've read this correctly, you've got about 35,000 members of your.
We've had 35,000 women through our different program masterclass. Right. We're now based in like the UK and Australia, and we do a heap of corporate workshops. So, yeah, it's getting out there.
Yeah. So, what's the grand vision for Molly and the Women's Finance Club? Ladies Finance Club. Yeah. Sorry, Jane.
Yeah. I would love all women in Australia to have their own ladies finance club with their girlfriends. So, you know, instead of book club, it's investment club where they make the time and space to come and talk about money and what they're investing in and what they're saving for, their goals, how they're negotiating. So like, I would love that happening all over the world. At the moment, we're just building up our membership and just trying to get more and more women to engage with their money who maybe wouldn't have, or maybe who have been sticking their head in the sand. They didn't know where to start because, you know, again, like, you know, we got taught how to play three blind mice on the recorder, not how to do our taxes. So a lot of us haven't learned about this stuff. And if we haven't learned about it, we can feel really like we're behind. We should have more to show for it. Yeah. So I think for me, it's like just the real education piece and getting more women to engage with their money.
Yeah. Okay. And can you share with us some examples of maybe some girlfriends or someone in your group where that's really changed their life and had an impact?
Yeah. So one of my favorite stories is Kim, who was in our, she was actually one of our first members at Ladies Finance Club, and she's still in there. She's still in the membership today. So she was out of a separation divorce. She was in her 50s and through Ladies Finance Club managed to get rid of her credit card debt, which was awesome. And also realizing that, you know, if you're relying on credit cards right now, that means you're relying on debt. It's not setting good financial behavior. So actually helping her see that, because sometimes people are like, well, it's only a couple of thousand dollars. And I'm like, yeah, but we've got to start building our wealth, and we can't do that while we're in that negative high interest debt. So she got out of debt, she saved up her emergency fund, and then her daughter was actually diagnosed with a blood cancer, the same blood cancer my sister had. And she was on an accountability call, and she was like, Molly, I just need to stop you right there and say thank you so much, because you're the reason I have money and I can throw money at that situation. And that control and that what that has given me is everything. And her daughter's doing really well now. She's in remission. And Kim just bought her first investment property. So like the stories like that, that you're just like, they fill you with joy and you're like, oh my God, that's actually having real impact on people's lives. I've had women reach out after we did a roadshow around Australia last year. We went to 13 locations and it was a big roadshow. We had 1,300 women through it. And I still get messages from women being like, I just found I had 5 super funds and I've been wasting all this money in fees. And so, you know, the fact that women are getting on top of these different areas of finance in their life is going to have a massive impact on them. I had a message today from a lady who did our 21-day abundance challenge at the start of the year. And she's just like, I can't believe how life has changed since I've done that challenge. Like, all these really positive things have been happening because I've got this abundant mindset. Yeah. So I get stories all the time, women who've changed literally careers because they did our investing course and they realized, hey, they can get into finance and moved into finance. So lots of stories I hear, but then again, lots of stories I don't hear till a lot later on. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Love that for you. But yeah, I'd say we've helped thousands of women get started investing, which I think is what I'm most proud of, because that's going to have a huge impact on their future.
Yeah, for sure. And has Molly ever thought about a career in financial advice?
Definitely not. No, I like bringing in the experts and working with experts and breaking it down and very much playing the host and also, helping those experts break it down, because with finance people, sometimes they like to jump straight into the ASX was up X points and this and that. And we're whoa, let's take it back. What's a share? Yeah. So yeah, no, I don't see myself being an advisor anytime soon.
I reckon though, you definitely are able to communicate it in language that people can understand, and that's fun. So, you know, if you ever do change your mind, I reckon you have a good crack at it.
I'll keep it in mind. Thank you.
A lot of study and
The regulation.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. So we work with a lot of money coaches who are ex-advisors who kind of got over doing all the regulatory stuff. So we've got some really awesome money coaches we work with.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. And we might leave it there, but I just want to ask final question, any sort of golden nuggets you want to share with us? And then if you can also plug your services.
Okay, sure. So golden nuggets, I think get really clear on your goals, put a date and a dollar amount on when you want to achieve them, break them into small, medium and long term, and just pop them somewhere where you can see them every single day. Set up that emergency fund. And I know many listeners, they might be in the corporate world. It still amazes me how many people have not done this. So this is emergency money there for a rainy day. So get clear on your goals, set up your emergency fund. Still, so many people I speak to haven't set up that emergency fund. So cash, I like to call them OMG fund for OMG moments. So cash sitting there for a rainy day. And then if you're not investing, start investing. If you can online shop, you can online invest. It's quite simple. So start educating yourself on that, because it will have a big impact on your future. So, and if you want to check us out, we're at ladiesfinanceclub.com or on Instagram, ladiesfinanceclub. And they're probably the two main places.
And where do people buy a copy of Girls Just Want to Have Fun?
Yeah, so you can buy it at Big W, Kmart, I think Booktopia as well. I think the cheapest I've seen it is on Kmart and Big W, and say, since it's Ladies Finance Club, we want to get the best price.
For sure. How many copies have you sold, Molly?
I need to check with a publisher. I don't know.
Okay.
It's on my to-do list.
Yep. Okay.
Or otherwise, we have a podcast as well, Ladies Finance Club podcast.
All right. Well, look, Molly, thanks so much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Holistic You podcast. If you found today's content helpful for your journey, please like and subscribe and leave a 5-star written review.